Tonight, the famous hotelier Vatel will be delighting your palates, and the playwright Molière has written the script, and Béjart is the choreographer. Hang on, where do you think you are? No need to spend thousands, produce scintillating conversation, or put on a spectacular show worthy of Versailles. Forget pomp and circumstance. Too exhausting. It's for him to pluck down the stars for you. Recipe ideas. For the first dinner at home. If it's hot, you buy wild salmon or a ham to die for from your local butcher, served with baby or steamed potatoes. It's fun, agreeable, and needs no preparation. All year round. You make a little appetizer platter to nibble with good quality smoked salmon, hummus, goat's cheese, and a good comté cheese, but no garlicky dips, foul breath, or tabbouleh salad, herbs in the teeth, the first evening. If he's under 40, make a croque monsieur, and you brave the innuendo. The name is derived from croqueur, to bite, and monsieur, mister. Buy some ready-made bechamel sauce, some good ham, and some good cheese, to be served with a bib lettuce, cut in two as long as the leaves are not the dangerous kind. See the list of forbidden foods below. If he's over 40, make your own good quality easy pasta without tomato sauce. A very simple recipe. Dissolve a chicken stock cube in fresh cream and pour it over burning hot short pasta, penne, farfalle, or orecchiette. Serve with some beautiful tomatoes, and you can even grate a truffle over if you're feeling indulgent. List of forbidden items. Overly fatty sushi, any herb or salad that can get stuck between the teeth, spaghetti that is alluring only in Lady and the Tramp, garlic for reasons you know about, and dishes covered in sauce. Not sexy. He didn't pick up the tab. Obviously, you get out your credit card. You're an independent woman, and obviously he appreciates the gesture. But obviously, it is out of the question for him to accept. Equality, okay, but gallantry above all. For dinner and breakfast croissants, it's for him to pay. What if he's penniless? Forget the VIP table at the fashionable restaurant and go explore all the hole-in-the-wall Japanese restaurants until the bank has unfrozen his card. If you want to pay for him, pay the waiter discreetly so the matter is out of his hands. Golden rule. You are an extraordinary woman who earns her living and has no need of his money. But you do need his love, and love needs to be shown. Where to take him? For lunch. Brasserie Flotte. We adore this brasserie near the Tuileries for its vintage setting and its traditional Aveyron recipes, not for its proximity to the Chanel store. 2, Rue Gambon, 75001. Telephone 01426080 89. www.flotte.fr. Boulogne-Chatière. Just walking inside this legendary brasserie immediately plunges you into the 19th century. Even better, each dish costs around 10 euro. 7, Rue du Faubourg Montmartre, 75009. Telephone 01 47 70 8629. www.boulion-chatière.com. Also, the Laiterie Saint-Clotilde, 64 Rue de Bellechasse, 75007. Edgar, 31 Rue d'Alexandrie, 75002. And the Pizzeria Il Brigante, 14 Rue de Rosso, 75018. The best pizza in Paris. For dinner, Rue Paul Bert. Together you can choose between a glass of wine and a platter of cheese at the Bistro Paul Bert at number 18, the oysters of the Bistro at number 22, and a fine piece of meat at the Argentinian restaurant Unico at number 15, 75011. Coretta, a light, bright restaurant in the heart of the Batignolles, with bay windows looking out onto the Martin Luther King Park. The restaurant is named after King's wife. Modern fine dining. 151 Rue Cardinier, 75017. Telephone 0142-265555. www.coretta.com. coretta.fr. Pavilion Poublard, in the heart of the Butte-Chaumont Park, 75019. In the evening, cross the park to enjoy pizzas and platters to share in this hunting lodge in the style of Napoleon III. On paper, it's perfect, but there is a but. If you don't fall deeply in love straight away, so much the better. That can be a good sign. When you do fall in love, you will be fully conscious rather than bewitched. You will be truly enamored, seduced and delighted, happy and sure of your feelings. At the same time, if you feel like you're in a bad play, in short, that you're going out with someone else's ideal man or with an abominable creation dreamed up by Stalinist advertisers or even by your mother, start running and escape this ideal son-in-law to nestle in the arms of that sizzling waiter or that slightly disreputable guy who makes you fantasize 100 times more. People are sometimes tempted to have a relationship with someone who seems to check all the boxes, but whom they already find boring. Just think of the efforts you will have to make to keep this rational relationship going, and how many more to find the courage to leave and finally be free to make the right choice. A man who is perfect on paper is like a loft in Les Invalides, chic but cold, like living life looking out at a tomb. So if you're not really happy, or are even slightly depressed, escape right away. The first step towards happiness is to flee unhappiness. Obvious, but true. P.S. This also goes for those women who think they're living a great love affair, but do nothing but cry all day as they wait for him to call. Golden rule. 3 weeks, and that's it. After that, you listen to yourself. If you don't want to, you don't want to, and that's that. No circumstances oblige you to sacrifice your heart. Look at Cecilia Attiar, who divorced Nicolas Sarkozy while he was president in her mid-50s, or Eleanor of Aquitaine, who dumped a French king and gave half of France to England out of love. Be daring. Something so much better is waiting for you around the corner. Parisian tip. Apple pastry. We Parisians love a good apple puff pastry. What is it we enjoy so much? The number of apples? The amount of flour? Of sugar? The fat? No, we love the expertly crafted mixture, which means that the same recipe made by luxury pâtissier Rudolf Landimont is much nicer than something created in a chemistry lab. Well, a man is like a cake. The ingredients do not matter. Handsome, intelligent, funny, cultivated, affectionate. What matters, in the end, is your particular taste. To be honest, his body is really odd. By objective standards, he is ugly, or badly dressed, or both. So what? Think of Brigitte Bardot, who fell for singer Serge Gainsbourg with his less-than-film star looks and appearance, or of Madame de Stael, who was ugly as sin but who managed to get the whole of Paris into her bed and her salons, just with her conversation. His bad taste doesn't matter. You can give him a makeover in 3 minutes. See the next entry. Nor does the fact that he doesn't have a torso like Ryan Gosling. Think of Leonardo DiCaprio. It's crazy how one body can do so many different things. There will be plenty of time to get him on the right track. The truth is, you don't trust yourself because you have waited for love. You ask yourself whether you will find yourself like the heron in the fable by La Fontaine, forced to make do with a snail because you turned your nose up at a pike. Nonsense. You are too romantic for that. What matters is that feeling all hot and bothered in his presence. The way his skin attracts your skin. His fingers set all your senses alight. His mouth burns on your neck. His intoxicating voice murmurs in your ear. Those disturbing thoughts in your brain and that he makes you laugh. That's all. Golden rule. If you feel you have really fallen under his charm, forget any awkward details. Give him his chance and give yourself the chance to be surprised. In any case, as we have said, it is better not to find everything about him attractive. That way, you will keep your head a very little bit more. Parisian tip. Luncheon in the park. Picnic on the grass, or enjoy lunch in a little bistro. It's more practical. That way, you have 3 hours, the time spent at lunch, in other words, to really evaluate the product in the light of day. Afterward, you go back to work and either forget all about him or stew with impatience to see him again that same evening.
The Costes cliché. Paris's Costes restaurants are beautiful and glitzy,
but very expensive for what they are. The waitresses size you up with a very 1990s contempt that is the height of tackiness. Today we have returned to what really matters, the essence of things. Think of Baudelaire. Beauty is always bizarre. And go for a being whose outer edges are rather rough, but who is gorgeous on the inside, like a Ferrero Rocher chocolate. Where to get him a makeover? If your man needs a bit of style help, find inspiration in these go-to Parisian stores. Step 1. If you've really got your work cut out. You've got work to do. If he thinks skinny trousers are still where it's at, or if he has no opinion on the subject. APC, otherwise known as the ABC of fashion. Here you will find basic jeans in Japanese denim, selvedge, with a very good price-to-quality ratio and a whole collection of sweaters that will transform absolutely anyone into a handsome hunk. Purists should go to Rue Vielle-du-Temple, to Elevation Store, twice as expensive as APC for the Rolls-Royce of jeans. The rest of the collection consists of timeless items with sober cuts and classic colours, beige chinos, striped sweaters, grey sweatshirts and thick flannel shirts that will make him look more like a trusty woodcutter than an out-of-date hipster. The men's department of Bon Marché houses a selection of labels in a limited space with guaranteed efficacy. Balthazar, the house label, or De Fursac, or Cornigliani, more expensive, to give makeovers to lawyers and bankers. The latter need only go a few steps to Rue Chomel to buy shoes. Caulaincourt, Paris. The Designer Square also offers an exhaustive choice from J. Crew to Carven and from Acne Studios to Lanvin. At the end of the store is a selection of sneakers and also of swimming trunks in case you plan to put the interested party into your suitcase this summer. Robinson Lebas or Lebas Brown. Merci. Avoid Colette with its touristy crowd and make your way instead to this fair trade concept store. A share of the profits is given to charitable organizations that is also as Parisian as they come. A fine selection of peacoats, sweatshirts, accessories, and several original labels such as Homecore. As a bonus, you will be near 1,000 great places for pre-dinner drinks, or a dinner for just the two of you. Step 2. He needs a helping hand. Ami, your new best friend. Attractive materials, sober colours, classic or oversized cuts for tops, slightly tapered fit for bottoms. A special mention for their jackets and coats, which are a great success. French rapper Joey Starr is a fan of the three-quarter length sheepskin, now a must-have. Maison Kitsuni. For an attractive teddy, Kitsuni means fox in Japanese, that you won't find anywhere else than in Paris or in the most chic places in Tokyo. Le Claireur. A very enlightened fashion choice if you want to unearth a beautiful scarf or because he is longing to see the newest collection by Kanye West. For geeks or those in a hurry, the Mr. Porter app gives you the whole of men's fashion in one click, the male counterpart of our favorite site, Net-a-Porter. A naughty rendezvous? He suggested you meet in a hotel bar, and here you are, just the two of you. The three old ladies and the two Saudi princes have disappeared. You're drunk on spritzers, and he asks, shall we take a room? The question in Brigitte Bardot's song goes through your head. Do you want to or not? But it's such fun to play the heroine. It makes for an exciting change. It's amusing. It's a magical place. Obviously, you say yes. Golden rule. Accept only if it's in the fantastic place. Not a motel in a run-down part of town. and you always refuse to meet him during the 10 to 11 a.m. or the 3 till 4 p.m. time slots, which are for women who are paid by the hour. The 5 o'clock cliché. Who still has time to slip out of the office at 5 p.m. for a two-hour liaison? Nobody. Squeezing a naughty rendezvous into tea time between an important meeting and a vital cocktail party smacks more of hard work than relaxation. The 5 to 7 has had its day. The noon to 2 slot has taken over. It's better for the figure, and much easier to get past the boss. Hotels for a 5 to 7. Unlike Japan and Brazil, France does not have a tradition of love hotels where you can rent a room by the hour. But the creative Parisienne can find a solution. The site, www.deus-hotels.com, offers rooms for the day, a bijou apartment next to the Opera, a room with a view over Montmartre, or a suite under the roofs near Étoile. In the romantic suite with a terrace and jacuzzi at the 5 Hotel, you can take the champagne and massage option. 3 Rue Flatère, 75005 Paris. www.thefivehotel.com. At Vice Versa, Chantal Thomas designed the rooms using the inspiration of the 7 Deadly Sins. 213 Rue de la Quart Nivert, 75015 Paris. Telephone 01557655555. www.viceversahotel.com. Hotel Amour. Admire fashionable clients and enjoy rooms you can rent by the hour with photos of nudes and a flower-filled patio. 8 Rue de Navarin, 75009 Paris. Telephone 01487831 80. www.hotelamourparis.fr. Or visit its big brother in the 10th arrondissement, Hotel Grand Amour, at number 18, in the ironically named Rue de la Fidélité. Telephone 01-4416-0330. A moment of madness? Go for one of the 8 Parisian grand hotels. At the Bristol, we love the French-style gardens, the swimming pool on the terrace, and the 2 cats that wander around the sitting rooms. 12 Rue de Faubourg Saint-Honoré, 75008, telephone 01-5343-4300. Strategy? Yes, but at the strategic moment. They say the first 3 months of a love affair are all about marketing. You abandon yourself in bed, but otherwise you carefully observe how things are unfolding and you control yourself. You hatch plans. Is that sad? Not at all. Love isn't war, but it's better if you're armed. Take an Uber driver, for example. In principle, his GPS always tells him the best route. But what if there is a strike on? A demonstration? A fashion week causing gridlock? It's wise to have your own map open, so as to propose your own shortcuts. Yes, it's a one-way street, but it's very small. And your own scenic routes. Well, it's the same with love. If he goes on telephone strike for a bit, gets into a bad mood over nothing, or is hit on by a Bulgarian supermodel, be strategic. Act indifferent when it looks like he might disappear. Know how to make him jealous when necessary. Bring out the big game in bed if you've got something he needs to forgive you for. And why not simper a little when you've got something to ask him? Parisian tip. The Callas. When Maria Callas, that splendid Greek beauty with the golden voice and overwhelming style, was dumped like an old sock by Aristotle Onassis for an ex-first lady, what did she do? Did she go and weep at his door? Did she throw herself into the arms of the first president who came along to get revenge? No. She disappeared. She shut herself up behind the facade of a Haussmann building in the 16th arrondissement to get over her troubles, and the loss of her voice, which had also made a run for it. And what happened? On his deathbed, Aristotle Onassis clutched the red Hermès cashmere blanket she had given him, a sign that he had never forgotten her. Absence never destroys true love. Golden Rule. As far as possible, keep a cool head. Love is marvelous, but for it to last, you cannot treat it as any old thing. He's still on Tinder. If he is openly seeing women other than you, well, he can get lost. In Paris, as soon as you kiss, you're an item. Maybe just for 2 hours, but it will be a passionate 2 hours. If he simply hasn't yet deleted his Tinder application and his profile is not active, does that make him a treacherous villain? What about you? Have you deleted yourself from the site? Or is it like your attempts to give up smoking? Just one last cigarette is allowed. It's only the beginning of the relationship, so don't get carried away and don't allow yourself to control everything straight away. How do you feel? Good? Enjoy the happy moments, and soon you will no longer see that little pictogram on his phone. Especially as some unthinking guys amuse themselves by giving likes to girls on Tinder as if they were playing a video game, all while being crazy in love with you. So focus on what the two of you are sharing. Don't think about the outside world and don't listen to the gossip of ill-intentioned friends. Stay in your champagne bubble. Golden rule. Don't spy on him. Don't exhaust yourself with such things. It leads nowhere good. You also have a past and a secret garden and find it strangely enjoyable to chat with that handsome stranger on Facebook. I messed up my sext. I'm in the shower. The glass is all steamed up, and I'm burning up wanting to feel you like this hot spray, running over my breasts, along my thighs, and kissing me all over like this walrus. There you go. You've put your foot in it. Dead in the water, so to speak. The killer typo. 2 hours later, you've gotten dressed again, and you still haven't heard from him. You can send a, oops, I meant water. But it's too late. Instead of thinking porn, your lover was thinking spelling mistakes. On top of which, on Saturday lunchtime, he was still at the office, having a coffee with his sister, at an outdoor market with his niece. In short, it was a bad moment. So what? Once again, stop beating yourself up. Act as if nothing happened and continue. Okay, I'm naked in bed and I can't stop thinking about what we'll do when you're here. He doesn't reply. Forget it and move on to something else. Be simple. There will always be time for him to reread these sexts later, when he wants to. And you'd better believe it. He will want to. Golden rule. When you go for it, you go for it. Don't send an excessive number of sexts, but when you do, you should be shameless. Whenever you make a faux pas, think of Madame de Maintenon. She started out penniless, a semi-courtesan, and the wife of an old man crippled with rheumatism. And she ended up marrying Louis XIV. The point we are making? You can go wrong in life. Start badly. Fall down. The important thing is to dare to get up again. And you can do it. All we do is make love. Is your body all he wants? You see each other only late at night, or at best late in the evening, and always at the last moment. As a result, your affair is as murky as the night that brings you together. Before you know it, here you are in the middle of a Count Dracula story. You only meet within four walls, while in the romantic film that keeps running in your head, you have tea at the Grand Mosque and have your neck kissed in the Albert Kahn Gardens. Frankly, there is a problem. Either you have nothing to say to each other and few things in common, and so you instinctively confine yourselves to animal lust, or you're scared to make your affair real. If it exists, you can lose it, and that means suffering. In short, you want your love to be experienced in broad daylight and to set the record straight. What is the bad impulse here? To invite him to dinner? That smacks of work, a skills assessment. I've got something to say to you. Instead, suggest forgetting nighttime for once and arrange to meet for breakfast at a cafe. The main thing is to get out, have a change of scene and make your affair into something other than Last Tango in Paris in a small apartment, especially if he doesn't even look much like Marlon Brando. If he refuses, refuse him. The night belongs to him, but not you. Farewell, my friend.
Golden Rule.
Love in the catacombs is a catastrophe. After a month or two, it is out of the question for a relationship to remain strictly nocturnal. Be a fool for love, but not to that extent.
Parisian Tip.
The Charles Aznavour. Charles Aznavour wrote 1,000 love songs, always superb, even if not always hopeful. But there is one that you need to keep in mind and hum whenever you lose patience. There is a time for spring and for sighing, a time for love, a time too for crying, a time for dreams and for sweet pretending. This little trick will help you remember that a love affair is not something that runs like clockwork. You need to give it time, and you need to respect the other person's time and timing. He might want in an hour what you want straight away, but not too much. Surprise! He's married. It happens. You never wanted to break up a family, and he did not want to be seen as a jerk, but there it is. You kept running into each other every morning on the terrace of the cafe where you meet your girlfriends for an upteenth coffee. And you end up chatting, laughing and exchanging numbers. And now, without meaning to, the two of you are in love, when he is already taken. Look, if he's there, it's because things are not working out for him at home, and it's all based, at least to some extent, on lies. We are not taking a moral or religious perspective, and we don't say that because of his wife. After all, if they split up, she can find another man who will be faithful to her. But for you, get out of there as fast as you can. It's a hellish idea. Really, really hellish. But then, there is Angelina Jolie, and a whole series of free women who don't give a damn what anyone thinks, whether it be the French bohemian novelist Georges Sand, who, between Alfred de Musset and Franz Liszt, whom she stole from a girlfriend, had a rough time of it with a married man. Colette, who sexually initiated her own son-in-law and had already had three husbands by 1925. Or Françoise Sagan, the charming little monster who drove in bare feet and loved both men and women, and sometimes those who belong to other people. Literature is full of examples. It's your life, and you are a great romantic. But here, too, you need to be careful. Say to yourself that either he leaves his marriage immediately, particularly if he doesn't have children, or within the first 6 months, unless you then give him 6 more. If not, listen to yourself and leave him. You will not live in his shadow.
Golden Rule.
It's not for you to push him into leaving. It's for him to make his own decisions, knowing that you won't wait for him forever. And if it lasts? He doesn't sleep with you if he doesn't stay the whole night with you, and he should introduce you to all his friends. In short, you lead a normal life together. You are not a mistress. You are a new hope, and maybe even the luckiest thing that ever happened to him. And we hope to you.
Should I tell him everything?
What you tell him depends on what it is. You have different conversations with your pharmacist, your florist, and your bank manager. And you don't say the same things to your friends, your therapist, your family, and your lover. If you want to open up about a childhood secret or a wound, we would advise waiting a bit. That's almost always better. But it's for you to judge, according to how open the two of you are generally with each other. You don't keep your clothes on in front of a naked man. If you want to talk to him about your worries concerning work, your weight, or your girlfriends, we say halt. These things are love killers. For others, see the list below. If you want to criticize him, you should have bought flowers, warned me earlier, called me at 8 like we agreed. We issue an even stronger no. List of love killers. Talking about your ex. Talking for talking's sake. Making lists or plans about us. Talking about your parents. Talking about your embarrassing ailments or listing all your digestive problems, unless you're with a fan of Judd Apatow movies. Talking about your administrative hassles, a flood, a complicated application, etc. talking about your therapist, talking about your work in detail, talking without listening, talking without laughing. Golden rule. Fault finding is ugly. Little by little, you gently find out about each other, and you adapt yourselves to fit each other, like a perfectly broken-in pair of shoes. Should you always follow your girlfriend's advice? No! Why? Because your old girlfriends are like parents or siblings who always make the same jokes around the Sunday dinner table. They have known you a long time, and they still see you as if you were 14 and talking about your first kiss. Or they have permanently filed you away in a box labeled nice, but still a box. In any case, why ask their opinion unless it's to hear the advice you want? Deep down, you know the few vital rules. Don't imagine yourself in someone else's head. Don't fool yourself and trust your instincts. Your girlfriends are for everything else. Golden rule. Protect your relationship. It's like a baby sparrow that's fallen out of the nest or something equally fragile. Do not talk about it with every friend and acquaintance. Every response you get could unjustifiably influence you. And if you don't succeed in listening to the little voice inside yourself, there again you should hibernate and protect yourself. Find a quiet spot, if necessary, quite far away from him. You must leave things to their own good time. Parisian tip. The cafe regulars. The cafe regulars are those gals who have so much spirit and whom you run into, often without calling them, on a daily basis. From the friend of a friend who is such an astute psychologist, to that office colleague, to your sister-in-law. With them, you can talk with complete frankness and clarity. If they are anything like Parisiennes, no relationship will shock them, and they will be able to view you objectively. The best idea is to talk to a guy. He's always blunt, but full of good sense. Things are a bit chilly this week. Is he leaving me? Or just taking a breather? You are the only one who knows the status of your relationship. Deep down, you know that after an intoxicating beginning, you must each return to your usual habits for a while. He to his poker friends, and you under the blankets because you feel the need to be alone with a good book. Stop worrying. Your relationship isn't like a Hollywood film. So much the better. That means it's real. Each of you just needs to withdraw for a while to have renewed energy for the game. He's distant. Give him some space and do the same for yourself. It will do you good to rediscover your precious freedom. Or exaggerate the good times you are having in your fun singles evenings. He will soon return to the fold. Above all, you need to stop measuring love, like a hypochondriac constantly taking her temperature. Good moments are not weighed by the gram, like loose tea at the Parisian tea shop Mariage Frere. Golden rule. Even if you spend a so-so evening together, you should label it a good evening, and say so. Add that cherry on top of the cake. The power of suggestion really works. You will begin to see a whole string of happy moments lighting up your sky, one after the other, like celebratory fairy lights. Do you go for your opposite or your twin? How well matched is too much? It's a difficult question. You will be extremely bored if you share the same opinion on every subject, and extremely bored if he never understands any of your tastes or thoughts. The solution lies between the two extremes. So he spends his grocery trips at the meat counter, when you are a passionate advocate of animal protection and vegetarianism. On the other hand, like you, he dreams of going to Tokyo, of visiting all the exhibitions in New York, of holding great, laughter-filled dinner parties with your combined sets of friends, of sitting anywhere beside you, watching the world go by, of making love in every position, and at every hour of the day, during your days playing hooky. Those are the things that matter. In short, a couple that is too well matched is like wearing the same nail polish on your hands and feet, or matching panties and bra all the time. Much too predictable for you. Golden rule. Don't run your man down because he surprises you. His tastes do not matter. The important thing is the magical link between you. Carla Bruni loved both Mick Jagger and Nicolas Sarkozy because the feeling of love is much more beautiful and complex than a simple matter of similarity. His best friend thinks that Paris was named after Paris Hilton. That is what comes of kissing all and sundry. If you wanted someone who runs with an intellectual crowd, you should have gone to pick up a man at the Perrotin Gallery, not at the Baron Club, where everyone turns up. But the main question is, does it matter? You are not your lover. He is also not his best friend. Let people live their lives, for heaven's sake. Take advantage of the opportunity for a little humility check. Always good for the pretentious intellectual slumbering in every Parisian. Golden rule. You never criticize friends. Or, as we will see, family. It's idiotic and it serves no purpose. In any case, in time, as a couple, you will see only people you both like. How to go to the bathroom at his place. You are a human being and you have a digestive system. Yes, there's nothing shameful about that. Henri IV used the chamber pot in front of his subjects. You don't have to copy him, but there is no shame in going to the bathroom. Tell yourself that men couldn't give a damn. You are beautiful and self-confident enough not to put on airs and graces. Sexy, but not cutesy. Look at the novel Belle de Seigneur, which Albert Cohen wrote precisely in order to denounce the quirks of excessive romanticism. Long story short, it finishes very, very badly. So do not put yourself on a fake pedestal. The fall always comes as a rude shock. Golden rule. In the event of a sexual marathon lasting a whole weekend, don't risk getting cystitis or an intestinal occlusion. If you can, go out to have a drink at a luxury hotel. They always have fantastic bathrooms, also to be used during a shopping trip. But if not, put on a film or some music and run to the bathroom at his place. Sure, you light a match in there and run water, even if it isn't ecological. But you are not embarrassed. You are a woman, not a porcelain vase, and only the latter can get by without basic bodily functions. I think he really wants to leave me. You haven't seen each other for a week, and he hasn't contacted you for 2 days. In other words, something is amiss. Even the ultimate pleasure of nibbling a still warm baguette as you leave the bakery seems empty. Life is terrible, but it's out of the question for it to remain so. What do you do? First of all, you put an end to the suffering and you finish things, head high, before he does. If he was simply a bit preoccupied, he'll beg you to come back. If he acknowledges receipt without emotion, there are two possibilities. Either you go directly to the following page, or you attempt to win him back. How? First, by saying clearly that you want to be with him. That's disarming. Second, by being more Three Musketeers, full of spirit and joie de vivre. Work like a mad thing. See your friends again. Keep a tight hold of your backbone. Be the fantastic girl you are, the reason he fell in love with you in the first place. And he will fall again. Golden rule. Always remain prepared to withdraw to a distance again, and talk about other things with your friends, so the sadness does not spread. Parisian tip. Karl Lagerfeld. King Karl is surrounded by people who worship and adore him, from his ponytail to his rings, not to mention his cat, Chopette. It's because he loves himself enough to surround himself only with people who love him. Do the same thing, and say to yourself that you are far too marvelous to waste time with someone who will never be able to realize that. The Nougaro cliché. Claude Nougaro sang a famous and beautiful song about desperately searching for a young girl in Paris at night because she had threatened to drown herself in the Seine, believing he did not love her. It's beautiful, but it's ugly at the same time. You don't do that, neither to yourself nor to someone else. Generally speaking, it will be truly over afterward. If you want to bring out the histrionics, be careful. That is a scene that can be played only once. If you go to the banks of the Seine, do it instead to recite these lines by Apollinaire. Below the Mirabeau bridge flows the Seine, and our love must I then recall after the sorrow, joy again. It will return. You have seen it happen before. He doesn't excite me anymore. How to end it? There are days when Cupid doesn't give a damn, crooned the French singer Georges Brassens. Days when you lose your modesty, but not your head, and where love is nothing but a casual fling. You have dinner together, but the intoxication is caused more by the wine than by his fingers on yours. You make love, but it has all the effect of an abs and buttocks workout. You send each other texts that are no sooner written than forgotten. You never have knots in your stomach or a racing heart. It's lukewarm, and that's that. So what? You can't win every time around, especially since the jackpot is you. Golden rule. The sooner you end it, the better. And no looking back. He risks thinking you want to get back together again and calls you more often than the bank. Move on without revenge if he was a jerk. You don't lower yourself to his level, and without nastiness, and never by text. Good places to end it. Obviously, you don't end the relationship with all his friends present, just as you avoid breaking up on his birthday. Other than that, where to say to him, and it always works, it's not you, it's me. You don't exactly organize a breakup as you do a proposal, but if you need a few symbolic places to deliver the coup de grâce, here is some Parisian inspiration. The Clignancourt flea market, because this affair was nothing but a cheap trinket. Musée d'Orsay. A station is romantic, especially one that has become a museum. You are leaving for good. Les Salons de l'Agriculture, because he was a bit of a pig. Place de Victoire, because your freedom has won out. In the middle of Les Halles, Rue de la Truanderie, because this guy was a rip-off. The steps of the Palais de Justice, if you want to play it like a television series. At Metro Station La Foch, because you have reached a fork in the road and you are each going your own way. At Patisserie La Dorie, because its duration has ended. On the Mirabeau Bridge, because love is like an ever-moving river. Being single is also a blast. Or, what to do when you are heartbroken. There you are. It's over. The worst thing is, it wasn't that good. But, in an unfortunate paradox, the more of a dead loss a relationship was, the more sacrifices it demanded, and the worse you feel when it is over. All that for so little? We're not going to say to you, plenty more fish in the sea, or suggest you go and dance to disco tunes at the Club Med in Morocco and start up a relationship with someone else. No. What you need to do is let go. Weep buckets. Golden rule. Really let go. Delete the texts, the photos, the name, forget his Facebook profile, and shut yourself up with a bag of cookies, plunge into a warm bath, and listen to plenty of love songs, telling yourself that there is always someone sadder than you. If a good surprise happens and you meet someone else, you will be healed, not pathetic. Parisian tip. The Simone Veil. Think of all those great French women you admire. Why do you admire them? For their successful marriages? Because of how many children they have? Not at all. Some of them were unhappy in love. But they were adventurers, writers, politicians, and fighters. They grabbed hold of life and defended love in other ways. So yes, being in a couple is important, but it is far from everything. Living grandly and rebelliously like those women with your head held high, that is truly marvelous. The Romeo cliché. It's time for him, me for him in life. Sang Edith Piaf in La Vie en Rose. Yes, but that idea needs to be thrown out the window. The idea of Mr. Right, like the idea of a soulmate, is a mistake. Thank goodness. There are several, not just one. The one who will share part of your future will be precisely that man with whom you want to create something. not just the one who locks eyes with you in some fateful way. The man who overwhelms you with happiness will do you good for a long time. A very long time. The 5 best public benches to kiss on. Find your own local versions of these romantic Parisian locations. Under some bushes at the Jardin des Archives, because it's a garden that resembles a secret passage where you can love each other beneath the singing birds, surrounded by flowers in the heart of the Marais. The countryside in Paris, as they say. In the Jardin des Tuileries, opposite the statue by Paul Bemondo, Apollo and Jeannette. Because there you have your back to passers-by, and you tell yourself that the most beautiful man, like Apollo, can fall in love with the cute Parisienne, Jeannette, and vice versa. A stone bench in the square courtyard of the Louvre, because there, tourists pass by without seeing you, and opposite, there's the Pont des Arts, with a violinist playing underneath an archway. And because if love is making you hot, you can go and sprinkle yourself with cold water from the fountain. It's Rome in Paris. In the Square des Vergalons, because here you can replay the scene in Titanic with Leonardo DiCaprio behind Kate Winslet. It's the beau of the Île de la Cité. Here you can kiss with one of the most beautiful sunsets in the world as your backdrop. In Montmartre, under the arbor of the Marcel Blustin Blanchet Square, because while it is true that the view from the other side is lovely, here life is beautiful. You are sheltered by drapes of Virginia creeper, hidden from people in your own dream, and free to abandon yourselves to your heart's content. Ick! He's too clingy. Things are moving too fast. His messages are idiotic. You're going about your daily life when you get a text, and then another. I miss you. Are you okay? Dying to see you. See you tonight. Great to see you. I adore you. And your treacherous thoughts in response? Oh, give me a break. Can't I have some space? You are wrong. Love is magnificent and should be welcomed with open arms. If you can't do that, don't tell yourself you are looking for love. Perhaps you prefer the single life. Why not? But if not, consider Molière's play, The Misanthrope, in which he explains that people who are truly in love think their faults perfections. The giantess seems a very goddess to their sight. The dwarf is an epitome of all the wonders of heaven. Your lover, who has the exhilaration of Jacques Brel at the Olympia, the panache of a table at luxury restaurant Caviar Caspia, the mad courage to send you sweet and affectionate messages so early on. He understands that love is rare and deserves everything. He even overlooks your faults. And so you revel in that excusable adoration. This man is not dumb. He is in love. Golden Rule. You do not mess with love, and you do not spit in the face of love. He turns you into a fool? Lucky you! It's the basis of everything, and it's fantastic. The Carmen Cliché. Georges Bizet's opera is one of the most beautiful in the world. But what a sad story. Carmen is stunningly lovely and a free spirit, but also destructive. At the end, everyone dies unhappy and unloved. It could have been so wonderful to sing, I belong to you. We are not here to make each other suffer. If you love him, let yourself be loved. Don't be an idiot. He's wonderful. What if he's the one? If your relationship continues and is nothing but happiness, sunshine and joy, so that the more you see each other, the more you love each other, the desire to go away for a weekend is consuming you both, you want to introduce all your friends and your families to each other, and you declare, I don't want to leave you for a minute. Why hold back? For sure, another unknown life awaits you. Don't fall victim to fear of commitment. To love is to risk. Think of all those fears you have overcome and how wonderful that was. The time you're a waitress in a seedy Miami bar, the time you went to see a German boyfriend in Dresden when you had only known him for 2 days, the time you first took your clothes off with someone. And really, why would you want it to stop? Happiness is also an option, you know. Jump on him! Sing Céline Dion! Dance! Golden Rule. Don't project into the future. Don't wonder whether he will be the father of your children or imagine yourself getting old together. Just enjoy each succeeding day. Parisian tip. The public bench test. Sit down there, on a bench. Cut yourself off from time, from the crowd, from the rat race. Just for a few minutes. Breathe. Look carefully all around you. Now close your eyes. How are you? Do you feel a kind of warmth in the pit of your stomach? And a smile coming to your lips? Yippee! It's time for part two. Part two. Encore, encore, still together. You have begun a new chapter. You can't believe what's going on in your heart. It's soaring, jumping, singing with joy. Yes, it's gentle, good and warm, and also terrifying. Like a good Parisienne, you fear first of all giving up your freedom. Second, more prosaically, you fear losing your head in this affair. And third, you fear losing him. The first year is a multitude of questions. Nice ones, it's true, but still a bewildering number of them. What to do when you have your first argument? What if one evening you start to feel bored? Is it the beginning of the end? Where to go away for the weekend without seeming like a couple of retirees on a boutique hotel trip? Should you share all your fantasies, including telling him that you sometimes want to marry him? Hang on a minute. Gently does it. In Paris, a burgeoning love affair is more than a voyage to the end of the night, more than 1,000 stolen kisses. It is a life lived on the edge, a joyous revolution. Help! He's fantastic! I'm scared I'll lose my freedom! You are in love. And it's scary. But hold on. Nobody's asking you to give up anything. What man would fall for an exuberant free spirit, a woman who jumps on him as soon as he steps out of the elevator and who comes home tipsy on rosé after an evening with girlfriends, and then wants her to return to the fold as some mournful, sensible and docile creature wearing satin mule slippers? Perhaps, passionately in love as you are, you fear that this burgeoning love affair will cause a revolution in your life. First of all, your new love is in all probability as elated and as terrified as you are. In that case, what could be more exciting than a new life? You're each departing for adventure and discovery of the other, like a Columbus en route to America. Discovering oneself, letting oneself be discovered, is to embark on a game of strip poker with a jackpot just waiting to be won. Do you fear that you're packing yourself neatly away? That all thrills will be over? You are wrong. New freedoms open up to you as well as new challenges, far more enthralling than worrying about whether someone will call or not. Wild holidays with 10 of you? In a couple, you can always meet up with your group and get away for a few days of carefree travel. Going out, it will be as much fun as ever, with the added bonus of ending up in his bed. Your silly romantic fantasies? You are finally going to live them out. Trips on a pleasure boat are now all yours. Golden rule. Dare to embrace this new happiness with all the wondrous possibilities that go along with it. But always keep a good tote bag with a change of clean clothes on hand so you can get away if you need to. Who should call first? Are we still playing the game? Falling in love is not like entering a monastery. You do not give up seduction. You remain a man and a woman who engage in an erotic dance. Think of the French classics. Once the hero in Benjamin Constant's Adolphe had actually conquered the woman about whom he had fantasized so intensely, she seemed to collapse like a soufflé. So obviously, you must continue playing. Strategy is like taking your makeup off before you go to bed, going into a bookshop to feed your mind on little phrases gleaned at random, or going out on a Tuesday evening, all part of a healthy lifestyle. So you are rarely the first one to call. You don't change your Facebook status to in a relationship. You are not always available, and you wait for him to ask for news when you go away to Copenhagen for a weekend with your girlfriends. Golden rule. Remember our rule. Always let him be a step ahead. Old-fashioned? Yes, but it leaves him wanting more. When he calls you first, when he chases you a little, when he turns up unexpectedly and waits for you on the doorstep, it feels good. The beginnings, the middles, and even the endings are always a matter of seduction. Parisian tip. The metro trick. Use the "there's no reception here" tunnel trick if you feel your desire to call is too strong. Cut the contact by simply turning off your mobile phone. During the time it takes to get from Étoile to Saint-Paul or from Odéon to Château-d'Œuf, you will have calmed down and realized there is no point in trying to reassure yourself by calling him. And in any case, he will probably have given in and called you. The nightclub, the opera, or the bookstore. Your first outing as a couple. Couples in love are foolish. You take pleasure in the slightest things. So follow your heart's desire, as long as it's sincere. You can't invent a passion for ballet director Maurice Béjart if you don't know who dancer Benjamin Millepierre is, or take on life as the queen of the night if you don't even know the name of the bouncer at the door of the nightclub. Instead, go back to your list of the thousands of interests, concerts, films, places, and authors to discover, and tell yourself it will be even more fun to experience them with someone else. Don't change your tastes. Go and have dinner at a famous restaurant. Walk for hours and go out until the early morning. And his pleasures? Taste them as much or as little as you feel like. It could be football Sundays or museum tours, according to the kind of creature he is. Les secrets d'une Parisienne. You love French composer Hector Berlioz? Take him to the Bastille Opera before ending up at the Tuileries Street Fair, licking your cream-covered fingers over a shared waffle. Golden rule. Let yourself be carried away. As in bed, each of you introduces your turn-ons to the other, but best of all is to launch into that flight of fancy to explore a third path, the one that belongs only to the two of you. You will find yourself doing things as a couple that you have never done by yourselves. He has bizarre fantasies. The two of you were a bit drunk, coming back from dinner, steaming, and ready to fall on each other on top of a car, when you suddenly heard him saying, "Shall we film ourselves?" Maybe not. It's not so much that you have a moral position on the subject. After all, as long as nobody is hurting anyone, it's fine. But more the physical position that bothers you. You have no desire to see a video of yourself sitting astride your lover like someone possessed. Not to mention the risk that it might appear on social networks. Whether you agree or not does not matter. But the most important thing is to tell yourself that everybody has fantasies they cannot confess. It is good your man is sharing his with you. You can confide yours, the ones that are made to be acted out, the ones that are made to excite you, and that's all. The hottest and most erotic thing about it is that you both dare to bear yourselves in that way. That is what is delightful in a relationship that endures. Isn't it true that you make love better today than you did when you were 18? It's the same for a relationship that endures. You will go further and further, get stronger and stronger, and better and better. Golden rule. There is no morality between consenting adults. Blossoming sexuality involves talking to each other, sharing with each other, and daring to do things. And you can say yes, just as you can say no. Sleeping at his place. Negligé or naked? You sleep at his place for the first time. Not on an impulse after some adventures between the sheets, but because you wanted an evening cuddling up together on the sitting room sofa, watching an old movie. Obviously, you're going to sleep in his arms. But how? Totally naked? Or in a silk negligee like Grace Kelly in Rear Window? She turns up at James Stewart's apartment, with a tiny vanity case from which she removes an extravagant creation of pink silk and little satin mules. It's up to you. You will perhaps choose to 1. Remain entirely naked. 2.